And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we ask you to speak to each of us then here in the quietness of the heart. Amen. This past week, it was announced by the Washington Post that the Oxford American English Dictionary has a new last word. Now, this is a word that had been recognized in other circles, but now it is officially the last word of the dictionary. This is how it's spelled. Z-Y-Z-Z-Y-V-A. Z-Y-Z-Z-Y-V-A. Now, how on earth do you pronounce that is the next question. I wish I'd written it down and held it up so that we could all guess at how it's pronounced. But it's actually pronounced Zizaba, and it's a group of beetles indigenous to South America. That has absolutely nothing to do with Abraham or Isaac or anything else I'm going to say. So there's your random fact of the day. But Zizaba, when we look at those letters put together, and we're trying to figure out, what does this mean? How do you say this? What is the pertinence of this to my life? And we're trying to make sense of a word that we don't recognize. We're reminded that sometimes the Word of God feels the same way. When we open these sacred pages of Scripture, whether they're electronic or they're a hard copy in your hand, when we open these words that are the Word of God, sometimes it makes as much sense to us as Z-Y-Z-Z-Y-V-A. But one of the reasons that I'm standing here on the floor today, dressed casually and taking a more conversational approach to the sermon, is for us to engage in a month-long study on the book of Genesis. And in doing this, it's not just because I want to be more comfortable and it's hot and I don't feel like wearing a robe, although it really feels a lot nicer not having to wear a robe in the summer months. The reason I'm doing this, the reason that we're taking this more casual, a little bit more of a less formal approach to worship this month, is to remind us that the Word of God has come near to us. That these are pages we are meant to open and study and wrestle with and get angry at and cry with and rejoice with. This is the living, breathing Word of God that still has relevance to our life today. And one of the best places to start on hearing God's last word to us, which is a word of salvation, a word of redemption, a word of resurrection, is to look at where we came from. I love to think of the book of Genesis as the family tree of our great big dysfunctional family as disciples of Jesus Christ. Because if you think your family is dysfunctional or crazy, just look back at the family Jesus came from. Look back at and that's the family that we came from. And it's people who are human, it's people who mess up, it's people who make mistakes, but it's also full of stories of people who make good decisions. People like Abraham who choose to obey when obedience is the most difficult thing to do. And that's exactly what we encounter in today's story. Listen with me again, or follow along with me again in verse 2. God is called to Abraham and he says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." Something that's really important for us to realize is that in Abraham's day and in the culture he lived in, there were many different religions, many different pagan religions, many different ways of worshiping, many different gods with a lowercase g that people worshiped. And the people following those different cultures, those different religions, sometimes found their gods with a lowercase g asking them for these horrible sacrifices. So for Abraham to hear a call from his God, the God with a capital G, with this request, would not have been as strange to him as it is to us today. Yes, every bit still is horrifying, but it was something that Abraham was very familiar with in the culture that he was growing, in the culture he grew up in and the culture Isaac was growing up in. But still, it was horrible. It was the worst thing imaginable that could be asked of Abraham when God says, "Give back to me your beloved son Isaac," or another translation is, "Your favored son Isaac." And then what we see Abraham do is something that is hard for us to believe. He obeys. He starts making the plans. In verse 3, he rises early in the morning. He saddles his donkey. He gets two young men with them. He cuts the wood for the burnt offering. And then they set out, and it takes them days to reach Moriah. Can you imagine with me for a moment just the horror that Abraham was going through? The sadness, the anger, all of those emotions as he went through these rituals, as he went through the things that he thought God expected of him. But he was doing it all out of obedience because he trusted and believed. And there is something in this story, even though we live in thankfully a very different world today, there are still much we can learn from Abraham's actions in today's story. They go on and they find the place that God has found for them. And look with me at the end of verse 5. He gives these instructions. "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." When Abraham says that word of "we," he is saying in faith and hope and trust that God is going to make a way to save his son. He believes, even though he hears what God has told him to do, he trusts and he believes and he hopes that God will provide another way, a better way that will save his son. And when he says, "We will come back to you," he is speaking a word of hope, a word of faith, and a word of trust. And that is what still is relevant to us today, friends. We may feel like we are going through a time period in our lives where we're like Abraham, cutting the wood and gathering the supplies and setting out on this journey. We may feel like we're on the worst journey that life has ever put in front of us, dealing with illnesses, dealing with job loss, dealing with dysfunction within our own families and strained relationships. We may feel like we are trotting that lonely and sad path with Abraham. And yet in the midst of that, he says, "We will come back. We will come back together from this." And that's a word of hope for us as children of God today and as children of Abraham, that God is still working for our good. God is still teaching us even in those difficult times that we go through in life. And sure enough, God comes through for Abraham. And notice what happens when he stops him from sacrificing his son. And in verse 8, well, actually, backing up a bit, but right before that happens, Isaac asks Abraham, "Where is the lamb that will be given for us, that will be the sacrifice?" And Abraham says to him, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." When Abraham speaks this, he is speaking a word of provision to us. He is speaking a word that God will provide what we need, even when we don't realize what it is that we need. And sure enough, at the end of the story, after God has stopped Abraham and has told him, "You have been obedient," and we see in verse 13 that Abraham looks up and sees a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Friends, instead of a lamb, an unblemished child being offered for sacrifice, there's an adult, the ram is an adult male that is given in sacrifice. Thousands of years later, another adult male, a carpenter from Nazareth who was both God and human, would of his own free will become a sacrifice, offer his own life as an offering so that we, as children of God, might be saved. The book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to mark that or jot that down to look at it later. But in the book of Galatians, we hear God call us heirs to the promise like Isaac. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and long before then, Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his greatest treasure, and going all the way back, because of that, we are heirs with Isaac to the promises of the Almighty Creator God. And when we hear in the book of Hebrews, about in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is praised for his faith. And he is set up kind of on a pedestal as somebody who trusted God. It trusted God's promise that through him there would be many nations born. And even knowing that promise, Abraham was obedient to what God was telling him to do. Today, Abraham's story, the story of Abraham and Isaac, has for us a word of hope and a word of provision and a word of God's promise. Because we see here that the gods with a lowercase g are not like our God with the uppercase g, because our God is one who keeps his promises because he loves us, because he desires to be in relationship with us, and because he sent his only son to make himself a sacrifice right here, and that is what we celebrate at this table today. All of this happened on Mount Moriah, or in the land of Moriah. And this location was not only where Abraham was willing to give up everything, but also many years later, King David in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 had to go to the land of Moriah as well, because he had to offer a sacrifice. David had messed up big time. David was pretty good at that, as we read in the scriptures. And God had told David not to take a census of Israel, not to count the number of people in Israel, but he disobeyed and he did it anyway, and God became angry. The God of the Old Testament became very angry at David. So David had to repent, and David said, I will offer a sacrifice on behalf of the people. I will repent and offer whatever it is that is required so that the people might be saved. So David went to the land of Moriah, to this same location where Abraham had been willing to make a sacrifice, and he made a sacrifice there, and God honored it, and he forgave him, and because of that, many people were saved. So friends, the sacrifice of Abraham, the sacrifice of David, the sacrifice of Jesus, we are all falling into that family line. Our roots are in sacrifice. And as we make our own sacrifices to serve God, as we make sacrifices to help one another, as we sacrifice to make God's king, to help God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, all of that is for the glory of God, and it lasts for many generations to come. The sacrifice of Abraham and David and Jesus, we are still living in the light of that glory today. So let us choose to live sacrificially. Let us offer our lives in thanksgiving to God and commit, as the prophet Micah tells us, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. We see in our friend Abraham what it means to walk humbly, what it means to obey. So let us go forth today knowing that God fulfills his promises, God provides for us, and even in the most horrific of times, God gives us hope. Because in Jesus Christ our Lord, we have this anchor as our hope, that we have been redeemed, that we have been raised with him to heavenly heights. So let us live as people whose last word belongs to God Almighty. As we have looked at the first words of God, let that last word echo with us, that you are loved through the Heavenly Father, who lives and reigns with the Son and the Holy Spirit, the blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen. And if you believe this promise, would you please join in that affirmation by rising as you are able, as we share together in the Apostles' Creed printed in your bulletin.